Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here on a wonderful Thursday morning. It is November, November the 1st. And I don't know about you, but I have really been enjoying the cool front here the past few days. It's been wonderful. And I've heard that November is supposed to be one of our driest months of the year, if not the driest month of the year. And for that, I'm very thankful. You see, I got some outside work that needs to be done, and I like for it to be cool, and I like for it to be dry when I do that outside work. And so let's finish these last 2 months of the year really, really strong, and we want to make that help make that achievable for you. We're talking about the will of God here as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. We've come to the section on the Lord's Prayer: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's what we have been praying, that's what we have been studying, and we have actually been going through topics of the will of God and concerning prayer. Now, this last Sunday, I preached on how important it is for God's people to be people who are praying. Let me just take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 12, I believe is where I started. So I'm turning back there. This is just one of those, let's follow the prompting of the Lord and go there. This is where the Lord appeared to Solomon after Solomon had dedicated the temple. He said, I've heard your prayer, have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And what I challenged our congregation concerning is, with all of the tragedies and horrific crimes against humanity and the slaughters and the bomb threats and the senseless murders that have been going on, isn't it time that God's people said enough with the devastation, enough with the division, enough with the disease and the pestilence and the destruction that is all around? It is enough of that, that it is time for us to respond to God's glorious offer to be his people who respond to the deterioration of our society around us, not with violence and not with anger and not with things of the carnal nature, but instead to respond with humility. That means to, that word humble yourself, it literally means to bow your knee as if a vanquished foe. And I'm so thankful that I was once at enmity with God, but now I've been reconciled to him through Christ Jesus. You see, he conquered my sin through the sacrifice of Jesus. He conquered my heart with his love, with his forgiveness, and with his great plan of mercy. And so it is time, not for arrogance, it is time for humility. It is time for us to bow our knee. And it's not just humility, but then it says, and pray. And that means to intercede or to make supplication for. You see, while I may not have the resources that are necessary to deal with the circumstances, I don't have the financial resources at my disposal to deal with all of the the devastation that the hurricane inflicted upon the panhandle. By the way, this coming Sunday, we're going to be taking up an offering for some of the churches up in the panhandle that were wiped out. I saw photos of churches where there used to be buildings and now there are tents. I had a conversation with our district superintendent a year ago and told if a hurricane came through and impacted Merritt Assembly of God, it would be devastating. It would literally be devastating. There were churches that were hit and probably businesses too, and homeowners that the deductibles are so high that the insurance is almost worthless. I mean, it pays a very small fraction of the damage that can be done by a devastating storm. So this week, on top of the other assistance that we provide through our ministry called Convoy of Hope out of Springfield, Missouri, that goes in and into these impacted regions and provides emergency relief supplies. But also we're going to be reaching out and making sure that people who may have lost their jobs and lost their sources of income, things like that, that they know that they've got a friend in Florida that is there to stand with them during this time of recovery. So that's going to be coming up this Sunday. They've asked us for a not very large offering. They've just said, would you mind sending a dollar for every person in your church? And so we're going to take up an offering, see if we can't do better than that. But if the hurricane victims up in the panhandle are on your heart and you wanted to make a donation to that, just mark Hurricane or Michael or Hurricane Michael or Panhandle or anything like that, and we will make sure that all of those resources get to them in a very quick and expeditious manner. So, we need to pray. My resources may not be enough, but God's resources are. I may not have the wisdom to be able to address some of the things that come up, like a situation that I dealt with recently. My wisdom, my experience was lacking, but God's was never lacking. So when we pray, when we intercede for others and we ask God to supply everything that is needed, he will never run out of resources. He is more than capable of providing for everything that we have need of. And it goes on and it says, and seek his face. Seek his face. Several years ago, I preached a message where the scripture talks about make his face to shine upon us. And I remember an old commercial from when I was a kid, and I think they still do it from time to time, about a person going out to the junkyard and finding this oxidized vehicle, and he begins to buff it and to clean it and to wax it, and he doesn't stop until he can see his reflection in that vehicle. And so I want his face to shine upon us, and we need to be very determined in seeking his face. What I used as an illustration for our church on Sunday was I would go to the doctor when I was a kid, and I always liked the children's highlight magazine, the Seek and the Find. You know, can you find the hammer in the midst of all of this other drawing? Can you find the hammer? Can you find the flowers? Can you find the house and all of that? And I loved the challenge of finding. And God says, if you seek me, you will find me when you will search for me with all of your heart. And so I encourage you today to be one who seeks his face. So we humble ourselves, we pray, we seek his face, and we abandon our wickedness. We abandon our wickedness. I believe it is time for Merritt Assembly of God. I believe it is time for the church to become God's people, doing what God says to do when there is devastation. I don't just want to be a person that calls on God whenever there's a crisis. I want to be so familiar with him that I cry out to him on a regular basis because I'm dependent upon him, not just in my next crisis, but I'm actually dependent upon him for my next breath, my next heartbeat, and so are you. And in the midst of all of this seeking, there's got to be an abandonment. It's not just a slowing down of our sin. It's not just a minimizing of it. It's not just reducing it. It is abandoning it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is the best person that I know to deal with issues in my life and in your life, and saying, if you will abandon this, if you will leave this behind you, I've got something so much better in front of you and in store for you that you won't miss that at all. And so I guarantee you, if you're willing to abandon your sin, God's going to fill that void with something that is going to be glorious. He says, if my people would do those things, then this is what I will do. God says, I will hear from heaven. So there is an application of the will of God here, that if we pray, God's will is going to happen. What's going to happen? Heaven is going to start speaking to the things that are devastating a society, devastating your finances, devastating your health, devastating the country. He says, heaven's going to make a declaration, and there's going to be forgiveness of sin. You see, God's not looking for a reason to wipe you out because of your sin. He is looking to respond so that your sins can be forgiven. And he says, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That means to cure, to heal. And this is the aspect of this word that I really think it needs to take place in America right now. And that is to mend by stitching, to take two things that have been torn apart. They are distinct. There's a barrier in between them. There is a chasm and a gap. And he says, I'm going to pierce one side and I'm going to pierce the other side and I'm going to draw them together. I'm going to mend them. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to make them whole. And God can do that, whether it's with a wound on your body, whether it's a wound emotionally or a wound spiritually, whether it is a torn relationship, a torn marriage, or anything like that. Doesn't matter what the tear is. God is able to bridge the gap and to bring healing. And so I want to take just a moment today to call all of us in this community to seek the face of God. And in doing so, being willing to seek his kingdom and the culture of his kingdom rather than the culture of our upbringing, whether it was a culture of hate. You see, there are some things about the culture that I was raised up in Oklahoma that are not necessarily the most healthy. You know, some of the things that we eat, you know, they almost fry grease out there. I mean, they fry everything. That's not necessarily the healthiest thing for us. And so there may be some things that I grew up eating that I don't eat anymore simply because it's not the healthiest thing for me. So I have to be willing to abandon that. But I have found that in abandoning some things, I have developed tastes for other things that are a little bit better for me. So you may be called by the Holy Spirit to abandon some of your viewing habits, some of your listening habits, some of the addictions that go on in your life. I believe that God can break any stronghold and deliver people from any one of their sins. It's time for us to pray, seek God's face, and say, what do you want me to leave behind so that I can pursue you, and watch him do a mending. And so right now I want to challenge any men that are out there that if your relationship with your wife is strained. I recently read a Facebook post on a page that I'm a member of, and a person was talking about the upheaval that was going on with their job, which meant that there was an upheaval going on with their finances more than likely, and that it was putting a strain on their marriage as well. And I want to encourage the men out there to fight for your marriage by running hard after Jesus. And you know what happens? When you and I as men become more like Jesus, then we're going to be more willing to lay our lives down for our wives the way that Christ laid his life down for the church. And we're going to find that we are capable of loving people more because we become more like Jesus. And I want to encourage the women to run hard after God and to seek his face, because the more that we do that, the more forgiving we are going to find ourselves, and we're going to be able to love people. One of the ladies in our church posted a quote. I don't know who the original quote was by, but she posted this quote, and it said, "Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me." And she didn't post it because somebody had hurt her. She posted that because she thought it was a great definition of what forgiveness is. And I can tell you from personal experience that God has been able to mend some things that the world would have given up on. God is the healer. He is the healer of broken hearts, and he is the healer of broken relationships. So let me take you back to Colossians chapter 1. Now that I've spent some time sharing my heart from Sunday's message, let me take you to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." So we left off on yesterday talking about being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. God wants us strong, he wants us fruitful, and he wants us increasing in the knowledge of God. He strengthens us according to his mighty power for a purpose. That purpose is not just to pose in the spiritual mirror and do a bodybuilder flex and everybody go, "Ooh and ah, look, it's a spiritual Arnold Schwarzenegger." That's not what it is about at all. He strengthens us with his glorious power so that we can be patient. It's not something that necessarily comes natural to us. Most people that I know don't like waiting. It's not something that has to be taught. It is something that is part of our carnal nature. So when you're in a car, kids are constantly asking, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And I wondered, why is it that kids are always asking, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And I realized that the length of time that they were in the car represented a huge portion of their life. They had not lived that long, and so every hour on that car ride is like, "Oh my goodness, this is a huge portion of my life. Can't we hurry up and get there so we can do something else?" I also noticed that older people tend to get more impatient the older they get. And I prayed about that, and it was because they looked and they saw, you know what? I've got fewer days than I once had. I've got fewer opportunities, and so I don't have time for a lot of foolishness anymore. And so, God strengthens us so that we can exhibit patience, not because it's about our time frame, but when we are strengthened according to his power, it's not going to be that we're going to run out of strength. Have you ever seen one of those episodes where a person is trying to rescue someone and they're holding on with everything that they've got, but they deep down know that they're getting weaker by the second, and so they're imploring somebody, come on, hurry it up already. I can't hold this vehicle up all day long here. You need to hurry. And whenever we are operating out of our strength, we're going to develop impatience. But when we begin to function with the strength of Almighty God and by his Spirit, we're going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience and long suffering with joy. So it is about, you know, the fact I realize I may not have had the longest life yet, but God has promised me I've got a very long life ahead of me, so I can endure this for a moment. And I might be closer to my finish line here on earth, but that's just the launching pad to an eternity with God. And so I can be patient because I want you to experience the same reality of heaven that I'm going to experience. And I'm not only going to do this begrudgingly, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be strengthened so I can be patient and long-suffering with joy. See, you can watch people and you can tell what is going on. I remember a person told me one time that they said whenever life got a little tough, what they would do is they'd find a shade tree and they'd just take a nap. And they'd just go to sleep. Well, so a lot of people just kind of wait for their problems to pass by. And if, you know, you're a little cranky, you know, taking a nap's probably a good idea for the rest of us as well. So, you know, we want you to deal with it however you can. But God ultimately wants to get to that place where we realize we are operating in the strength of Almighty God. And so when we are going through the fire, God is going to give us a joy just the same as he gave Jesus, who endured the suffering of the cross for the joy that was set before him on the other side of the cross. You see, we're patient because we realize the joy of people being reconciled to Jesus is worth any of the inconvenience. He also says that giving thanks to the Father. So the will of God is for us to give thanks to the Father because he has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You and I, we are heirs today. Today we do not walk around as kingdom paupers or kingdom beggars. We walk around as kingdom heirs. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, not because we're making a false claim, but because we have been qualified by the Father. And it says he wants to deliver us. It is the will of God to deliver us from darkness. And I don't just mean a lack of illumination. I believe that he wants to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness, from the authority of spiritual darkness. He wants to break the strongholds in your life. I believe that that is the will of God for every man, woman, and child. Whatever you might be addicted to, if you're addicted to sugar, if you're addicted to cocaine, if you're addicted to alcohol or cigarettes, if you're addicted to pornography, or if you're addicted to work or whatever it might be, God has the power to set you free from the kingdom of darkness. He wants to deliver you from that, and he wants to convey you. I see a conveyor belt is when I read this passage, of conveying us into the kingdom of his Son and of his love. He not only wants to deliver you from, he wants to deliver you to. It is not that you would be a person non grata, a person without a country, but you instead would be delivered from darkness to the kingdom of God and of his Son. All of this started in verse number 7, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. In chapter 4, verse number 12, it says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphos and the church that is in his house. Epaphras, we're going to be in this passage tomorrow, but this Epaphras that was laboring fervently as a faithful minister on behalf of the church in Colossae, who wanted them to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, he wasn't just working for that. He was praying for that. It is the will of God for his church and for his people to be a people of prayer. I don't know everything that you are called to do. I do not know everything about your purpose, but I do know this much about your purpose as a human being. And that is, you were created by God to be in divine communication with him. You are to be a person of prayer. And not just crisis praying, not just prayer on your behalf, but praying for others as well. And so be praying for those communities that were impacted with the crises. Be praying for your family members. But also, I want to encourage you to labor fervently in prayers for those that you want to see come to a greater revelation of who Jesus is. That should be a prayer we pray for ourselves. That should be a prayer we pray for our spouses. That should be a prayer that we pray for our kids, for our family members, for our neighbors, our coworkers. We should take our privilege of communicating with the King of Kings as a great honor and say, I will not fail in this area of praying fervently. You know what? The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, I'll throw this in there, and a righteous woman, they avail much. What would happen if God's people started praying fervently once again? I know it's the will of God for me. I believe it's the will of God for you too. We'll see you next time right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Of our ever-changing lives, the best we have to offer. We don't just lift up our hands, Lord, we lift up our lives, for we know that you are worthy of our praise.
to you are life songs written.